Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we revisit some great video game movies and discuss the film adaptations of Borderlands and Fallout. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain. So it's getting close to summertime here, and one thing that I really enjoyed doing as a kid and also as an adult and young adult was going and seeing movies during the summertime, because there was always a plethora of movies released, you know, July, August, September, that sort of time frame.
Well, exactly. I think that the theaters and the producers and everybody are aware. Kids get out of school, they need something to do. It's a hot time for movies. Now, of course, some holidays are good for that too, but overall, I think there's a huge slate of movies that are going to come out right after school gets out, up through the 4th of July, and those types of holidays.
Right. Well, and the reason I bring that up is because there's a movie that we're going to talk about in a moment that comes out in August, and it's a video game movie.
Oh, no.
And I thought that it might be cool to talk about some of the great video game movies that we have seen, because we know some of them just suck.
Yeah, we've talked about video game movies before. It's a little sketchy.
Yeah. And we have a list from IGN of the upcoming video game movies. So I just thought we might start with some of this good stuff, and then we'll get into the new stuff and why it may or may not be good.
Okay. Now, I think that's fair, because video game movies as a whole, as a genre maybe, have a pretty bad reputation. Video game movies have just always been bad. And it goes back to, what is it, Ute Bowl and his stuff. And
and then we had Doom that was terrible. But really, it stems from the way that you see something in your head. Kind of like when you're reading a book and then you see a movie on the book. Some things don't translate very well. And sometimes you imagine it one way, the director imagines it another way, and you can't get over that. And with video game movies, it's like, well, it's a video game. You should just play the video game. But how do we turn this into something that we can watch? And Doom is a pretty good example where they had the idea and they based some of that stuff off of the game, but the way it was scripted and acted and the actors in it, it just didn't sell very well.
All right, so I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Were there any recent good video game movies? Let's talk about it.
I liked Gran Turismo.
Oh, that is an interesting place to start, because I liked Gran Turismo also.
Yeah, and I want to say that we probably talked about it on the show, but I remember it as a pre-show discussion. And so if I can find the link, I'll put it in the show notes below.
Now, if I remember correctly, I had just seen the movie, and I was trying to talk you into it being a good movie, because on the surface, Gran Turismo is a racing car game. I mean, there's no characters, there's no plot. You race the cars, you earn better cars. It's very realistic. It helped launch PlayStation as an iconic system.
Yep.
So how do you make a movie about it?
Well, you make a movie about, according to the movie, you make a movie about the people that used the Gran Turismo simulator to jumpstart their racing career through Sony.
And that's a very good description.
Yep.
I was unaware before I went into this movie that there even existed a Gran Turismo championship thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I mean, it kind of makes sense that you'd have leaderboards and that sort of thing because it's a racing game. But I did not know that there was a championship that gives you the opportunity, and they're still doing it, I think, to go and go to racing camp and have a shot at maybe being a real professional driver. And some have done it successfully.
The movie makes fun of the fact that we have gamers who are kind of flabby around the middle and maybe not the best athletes. And then they're trying to make them into athletes, because driving a car competitively that's a demanding task. Video gamers probably have it mentally, but not physically.
Well, the concepts that Gran Turismo teaches you about how to race and how to take corners and things are very translatable. But I can tell you from, you know, karting, which I really enjoy, that I can only take so many laps before I feel like I've been punched in the kidneys. It is work.
Well, and even sport motorcycling. I mean, I'm not much of a racer, but I ride competitively. And it's a great way to wear yourself out, which is pretty awesome.
Two thumbs up there is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, definitely. What about Mario Brothers?
Okay, so this is a divisive one for me, because I thought the movie was not great, and I think I'm in the minority.
I thought it was actually pretty good. And the reason I say that is because it was animated and voiced. Mm-hmm. And they animated the characters extremely well, but the voices weren't necessarily true to the source material.
Yeah, and that's maybe what you were talking about before, about what you visualize and what you hear in your head, because I found the voices very distracting. Very distracting to the point where I lost the immersion. The world was really pretty. I thought the storyline was interesting. Jack Black sort of won me over in the end, but everybody else fell flat for me.
Same here. It's like we've all played Mario Brothers or seen people play Mario Brothers, and there's different aspects of the game that were put into the movie, but the story didn't really sell it. But overall, it was a great experience to go see and kind of just kind of turn your brain off for a bit, and which is really what movies are for, right?
Well, I think that Mario Brothers and Sonic the Hedgehog, which is another really recent movie.
Oh yeah, I really liked Sonic. It was done extremely well.
I liked Sonic, and I was pleasantly surprised about how well I liked the mix of live action in Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. And especially coming from some of the early Sonic stuff, I think that Mario Brothers and Sonic kind of cemented that you could be successful as a video game movie.
Well, and the difference there is that Sonic was live action and done actually good. And that's something that we talked about on a show. And if I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes again. But the original renderings of Sonic got released on Reddit. And everybody went nuts because it didn't look like Sonic at all.
So bad.
Well, they refined it. It made it good. And it blended extremely well. Whereas with Mario Brothers, everything was animated. It wasn't really live action at all. There were some elements of it, but not really as much as you would think.
So I want to pick out another couple of highlights maybe that support the renaissance of video game movies. Now, we both saw Uncharted.
Yep.
Which I thought was very good, although Mark Wahlberg was very miscast.
Yeah, I would agree. The story was there. The action was there. The people, the chemistry, not so much.
And they're talking still about making another one, and I have hope for it.
Now, I will say the very end of Uncharted, which was, I want to call it like the impossible task.
All right.
You know, it's like that action that just never ends. It's, you don't have a crescendo of it. It's like, well, just nonstop hit after hit after hit after hit. I really like that aspect of it. And the best part about it was nobody really talked. It was all action.
Well, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I felt like the new Mission Impossible and the latest James Bond both cribbed from some Uncharted action scenes.
Exactly. And that's where I think that that's going to be a movie trope going forward for a lot of action films.
Now, you saw Five Nights at Freddy's.
I did.
Which my kids could not stop talking about. And I had no interest.
I want to say that it stayed extremely true to the source material in that it was kind of like you were in the game, in the movie.
Also, some weird casting choices in that one from what little of the game I've played.
Yeah, but I don't think that the casting impacted the movie at all. Now, of course, I'm speaking from not actually playing the game, but seeing it played. A lot of the things in the movie just kind of worked to the point where you didn't have to know the source material to understand how the movie went.
Excellent. I feel like we can't talk much about the story on that one without spoiling it.
Yep.
So maybe I'll just ask, are there any others that you'd call out as being good over the last couple of years?
Well, I kind of liked the Mortal Kombat movie. There was a lot that you had to kind of take on faith, but
okay.
I've seen the original one or one of the original ones, mm-hmm. and that was just campy and lame and not good at all.
See, now I would argue that the first couple Mortal Kombats were good because they embraced the silliness of it. And of course, an incredible soundtrack.
Yeah. That part, I will agree. The new one kind of, it amped it up in terms of the effects and the story. And I kind of liked the fact that it was like this man on a mission sort of thing, which was much like if you're playing Mortal Kombat, you're on a mission to get to the end. And that's the way that the movie progressed.
Well, maybe I will have to put that one on my radar. I can't really pick any more off the top of my head. So maybe it is time to talk about why this all came up, because we're looking at an IGN article. And of course, they're very populist, but they have pointed out their list of video game movies that are coming in 2024 and beyond. And to be fair, a lot of these are pre-production, maybe?
Well, there's only three that have a date. Everything else is TBA, so it's likely somebody just kind of whispered it and they put it on the list.
But I know some of these are legit. So to be fair, we could talk about that. So particularly, these are in date order, interestingly enough. Dun, dun, dun. So yep. very first
is Borderlands in August of 2024. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably seen the trailer, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we should come back to that one because I have a lot to say. But the next one is Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Now, I just mentioned how much I enjoyed the first Sonic. The second was more of the same.
Yep.
And that wasn't all bad.
But it must have been good enough to get a third one because there's a fair amount of special acting and rendering that requires to build one of those movies. And it's not cheap.
And so if the date is to be believed, that will be out for Christmas 2024.
Now, the next one, April 4th, 2025, is Minecraft, the movie. I'm not sure how this is even going to be possible, but maybe.
Well, it's a big enough title, one of the best-selling, if not the best-selling game of all time on all platforms. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised somebody's going to try to make it happen.
Yeah. The TBAs, we'll just kind of go down the list and pick some out. We got Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
So that shouldn't surprise anyone because there's a lot of lore there.
Yeah. There's tons of lore. And they set up the original movie for a sequel almost instantaneously, which was kind of crazy.
All right. What else you got?
We got Until Dawn. I'm not sure. I've never played that series. We got Gears of War, which might be interesting.
Yeah. Now that has a chance to be a pretty solid future war thing.
Yeah. We got Mortal Kombat 2, obviously.
It shouldn't surprise anyone.
Let's see. Street Fighter. This would be like, what, the fourth Street Fighter that's been released?
Oh, none of them have been good. I mean, I go back to like Kumite or something. I want to pick out Pokemon Detective Pikachu 2. We didn't mention this before, but I was pleasantly surprised by the first Pikachu. I thought it was really good.
I agree. And that was another one of those live actions that was just done extremely well. It had good casting.
Yeah.
And good chemistry in the casting, which I think was really important. And it really sold the movie.
Well, if they can get Ryan Reynolds back, I think it'll be a hit.
Although, right. I'm not sure if Ryan Reynolds as himself versus Pikachu would really do the movie good.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Let's see. We have Stray. So this is a game about a cat. And I bought it and I have yet to play it.
Yeah, this one's been on my list for a while because it won a bunch of awards. So also, I think it's an open world exploration as a stray cat.
Yeah, pretty right. much. Let's see, Bioshock. Oh my God, that's just begging to be a movie.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Especially if they go with Infinite.
I almost want to see that more as a miniseries on like Apple Plus or something where they can throw some really good money at it doing the world development there. So I'm gonna cross my fingers for that one.
All right, so we got maybe three more here. Mega Man, which I'm not sure about that even as a game.
Right.
Duke Nukem.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not even sure that they could stay faithful to the source material and make a movie that's not going to piss off everybody.
Uh-huh.
That's not of an appropriate age.
Now, here's one that you would maybe have more experience with. Ark Survival Evolved has maybe some potential because there is a story. It's a survival game that I know you guys play a lot.
Yeah, Ark, there's a lot of material there that can make a really good movie, but it could also be really, really bad. But it is a survival game. It's in dinosaur times, but also tech times, which is kind of cool. Pac-Man, I'm not sure that you can make a movie about Pac-Man, although...
Oh my gosh.
There's plenty of cartoons about Pac-Man.
Yeah, let's not get started on some of the old movies like Pac-Man.
Okay. And then the one last one... we'll do two of them here. These are in status unknown. Call of Duty and Half-Life, which I don't think this would make... Maybe Half-Life, but not Call of Duty.
Well, Half-Life has some story. Call of Duty, to me, would be any war movie out there. So I kind of agree with you.
Yep.
So hopefully there's something you're excited about, but they didn't mention one of my favorites that has a trailer out also. And that's because it's a TV show for a game series that I adore, Fallout.
Yeah, and this is a trailer that we watched before we sat down to record, and I'm impressed. I'm going to be watching this.
So I'm so grateful that instead of making a movie, they've made this into what looks like a limited series. So this is going to come out. It's, I believe it's Amazon Prime, didn't we decide?
Yeah, it was Amazon Prime.
And it looks like it's done from a fresh vault release. So if you haven't played the games, there's a lot there to digest. And I'd suggest jumping in and trying one because the old ones are so good and they're so cheap.
Well, and we talked about Fallout quite a bit on early episodes of the Hardware of Some podcast, back when it was the Ninja Lane podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I had issues trying to play the game because the interaction with the pip and the turn-based combat and turn-based moving, it just seemed, I really wanted to get in and just move and do stuff.
Yeah, not the best of it as they try to do multiplayer online, but there is always another Fallout game coming because the series is so popular because it's got a really interesting, well, maybe we should stop and let people watch the trailer. So we'll have the link for you.
Down in the show notes.
So we'll pause now for station identification, or at least for you to check out the trailer.
So what did you think?
I still think it's great.
Yeah.
Now I have my questions about how much of it looks like it's set in the vault.
Yeah, I don't see a lot in the vault. They talk about the vault and then they jump directly into coming out of the vault and running into the locals who do not like them.
But I get so excited. I mean, we've got Walter Goggins in it looking phenomenal. I mean, they brought back dog meat. I almost felt a little squee of delight at the Brotherhood of Steel.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's just a lot there to like. But let's be honest, the Fallout storyline is a little silly and a lot dark.
And I see that from the trailer. We got done watching it, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch that. That's for sure. I didn't see anything about bottle caps, though.
You know, I didn't either, which is funny because I wonder if it's they didn't get the license for the ball.
Maybe.
So I imagine it'll be in there, if not downplayed. But the good news is you don't have to wait long for this. All episodes, and we'd have to look to see how many, but all of them will be available April 11th for your binging pleasure.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. No problem.
So now we started by talking about movies, and I want to take you back, Dennis, almost 10 years. Because in September of 2015...
Yeah,
we did a podcast, episode 56, about dreamcasting a Borderlands movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we sat down to record and he's like, hey, do you see the Borderlands trailer? And I'm like, yeah. And then he said, didn't we dreamcast this? And I like, yeah. And then I started searching and then I was searching and then I was searching and I was searching and I was searching. And then all of a sudden, whoa, there it is. Holy crap, episode 56. That was a long time ago.
And it's the second half, so we'll have a link to that because we want you to go back in time.
Yeah, definitely.
To when we were much younger and very excited about a Borderlands movie that took nearly 10 years to come to fruition.
And it's funny because the original Forbes article is still available. The link is different, so I'll put the new one down in the show notes. So definitely check out the episode. We will kind of rehash some of that stuff.
So first of all, just like with Fallout, you should stop and take a look at the link below that will let you watch that Borderlands trailer right now and then come back.
So, what do you think?
It scares me.
And it's because it's campy and it's almost like, oh my God. I can't imagine that the producers of Uncharted created this garbage.
So I want to also point out something that isn't really obvious from the trailer. You might catch it, but the film, called a science fiction action comedy thriller, is directed by Eli Roth. So Eli Roth is a gifted director who is mostly famous for some edgy horror flicks.
And that's not what Borderlands is.
Which is sort of interesting. But maybe more than that, it's very difficult for me for the trailer to figure out what Borderlands they're trying to do.
Right. Well, and that's a good point because we have characters that are from every one of the games in the series.
It's like they cherry-picked their favorites, and not only that, but they sort of cherry-picked which versions of their favorites. So, you know what we had to do, folks? We had to go find the synopsis of what this movie's about in hopes that it would lead us to which Borderlands it was. Now, this is all over the place, but we found it on Collider.com. Maybe we'll throw the link down there. Not a site we normally recommend, so your mileage may vary. But let's take a second to read it, maybe? It's not long.
Yeah, I will attempt to do that. So, Lilith, an infamous bounty hunter with a mysterious past, yeah, she has one, reluctantly returns to her home, Pandora, the most chaotic planet in the galaxy. Her mission is to find the missing daughter of Atlas, the universe's most powerful SOB. Now, Atlas, he's one of the CEOs of a mining company in the original...
Right. And right. Then in the later ones, he is one of the weapons manufacturers, so one of the brands.
Yes. Okay, so Lilith forms an unexpected alliance with a ragtag team of misfits. Roland, a seasoned mercenary on a mission, who actually was at Pandora to search for a vault. Tiny Tina, a feral preteen demolitionist.
A really dark past.
Yeah. Krieg, Tina's muscle-bound protector, aka probably her dad. Tanis, the oddball scientist who's seen it all and is actually close friends with Roland because Roland saved her, at least in the game. And Claptrap, a wise-ass robot, which I guess he kind of had a bit of an attitude in all of the games, but really it didn't come out until Borderlands 2.
Well, and realistically, calling him a wise-ass robot is a little silly because Claptrap was just sort of gloriously naive, was kind of what made him funny.
True, true, very true. Okay, and to wrap this up together, these unlikely heroes must battle an alien species and dangerous bandits to uncover one of Pandora's most explosive secrets. The fate of the universe could be in their hands, but they'll be fighting for something more, each other. Aww. Based on the best-selling video game franchise of all time, welcome to Borderlands.
So if you're like me and you read books and then they make movies about them, what should scare you the most is based on the best-selling video game franchise, because it isn't pulling any of the existing storylines, which makes a little more sense for them pulling the different folks. And yeah, so.
Yeah, well, and it's like they just use the names and then ragtagged the people together. So for instance, the casting.
Yes, let's talk about the casting, because they did get some big names. Maybe the most obvious is to go back and pick. Let's pick a few of them here. So the big one from the trailer, big ones are Lilith, who is
Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett, of course, a very talented actress with a really impressive resume. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly kind of amazed at the casting.
I'm amazed that I'm amazed that she picked it, or you know, she not that she got picked, but that she accepted to be picked because. You know, we've played Borderlands. Lilith was always very serious, which Kate can be. She was also not very tall and kind of skinny. And Kate, you know, she's seasoned, for the lack of another term, and she's taller than everybody else that's been cast.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest issue. Otherwise, you know, she looks fine.
So maybe the next biggest one on there, arguably, Kevin Hart is Roland.
Totally incorrect casting, because he's funny in the trailer because he's a comedian. I mean, that's Kevin.
Yeah, that's why you get Kevin Hart.
Roland in the game is serious all the time.
Always. In fact, you can't even tell if he's ever joking, to the point where really only Tiny Tina finds him funny, and she's a little broken.
Exactly. And Roland's a big guy. I mean, he's a big dude.
A giant soldier.
And Kevin is not.
So, well, let's come back to Tiny Tina. The next biggest is Jack Black as Claptrap.
And, of course, Claptrap is going to be just a voice. And one of the things that made Claptrap Claptrap was the annoying voice. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have the annoying voice at all.
So I feel like Jack Black is a great casting coup because he will bring people to the movie.
Yep.
And he'll probably do a pretty good Claptrap if you haven't played the games. So
that's a good point.
So for me, the next biggest choice is Jamie Lee Curtis's Tanis, which I actually really like.
I think that that's a perfect casting.
I like Jamie Lee Curtis a lot. I think she's not afraid to be a little quirky and weird. Mm-hmm. And Tanis is definitely quirky and weird.
Exactly, yeah.
In fact, having Tanis in the cast as a major character is an odd choice. So I hope it works.
Yeah. We have some other notable characters. Florin Montague, as Krieg. But you know what's nice about Krieg is he doesn't have to talk. He just has to be big.
In fact, I would suggest that you go back and find the trailer for Krieg that has him talking in his head. That is so amazing. We've got to find the link.
Okay, yeah. I'll definitely put that down below because that was the introduction to Krieg to Borderlands 2.
And it's maybe the best game trailer ever made. Arguably. Always arguably.
Of course.
All right.
We have Benjamin Byron Davis as Marcus. I saw a picture of him in the background when we were watching the trailer. Made him look exactly like Marcus, which is why I'm having issues with some of these other characters, because it's like, you can make him look like Marcus, but you can't get anyone else to look like their character.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Which leads me to the Hammerlock choice. And, you know, of course, I know that we want to be all-inclusive, but Hammerlock is a classic British big game hunter and is very posh, tea-drinking, monocle-wearing, and they chose... I mean, he's a young guy, up and coming from the Disney world, I think, Charles Babola. And I'm not familiar with him, but he is a handsome model-looking gentleman.
Not Hammerlock.
But he is British.
He is British.
So maybe to finish it off, we should go to, I think, the most divisive casting of all of them, and that's Tiny Tina.
Oh.
They cast Adriana Greenblatt, who is, I think, also out of the Disney machine. A young up-and-comer.
Oh, I think she was also in Infinity War, which is a Disney...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I'm finding it now. But a smaller bit part. So she is definitely an actress that's going to attract a younger crowd also. And Tiny Tina is a very divisive character as it is, especially because they've done two different versions of her now. The version that is the young Tiny Tina in the standard storyline. And then the teenage Tiny Tina that's been in the Tiny Tina version of Borderlands, which is a spinoff game, they both have their successes and failures. But I think most people remember her for her voice. Mm-hmm. And Adriana is maybe a little too cute and definitely does not sound like Tiny Tina. So,
yeah. Well, and that kind of reiterates into the trailer. Something that I noticed was that the roles were reversed. So, for instance, we had Tiny Tina in the games. She was kind of the comedian, but she was also edgy and borderline inappropriate most of the time.
Right.
And then we have Roland being funny, which Roland was never funny. So,
well, that's a good point.
We have like these role reversals for the sake of doing role reversals, you know, to match the character that got cast, not necessarily the character that they were supposed to be cast as. All right. Well, we have our opinions about the trailer, but I want to go back to the original casting and see if there was something there that I think was better than what they did.
Now, of course, that was dream casting, so we don't know if any of these folks were ever really interested in it. But where do you want to start?
Well, how about we start at the beginning? We'll just flip through real quick. So we have Lilith as Olivia Wilde.
I love this choice then. Still love it. I think she is a great choice, although she's gotten a lot bigger since this. And
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I want to say about the Forbes article is that it's almost like they used AI to say, well, what real life actress, actor looks like the character?
Ooh, and, back in 2015.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of hulks back to our main show this month. But we have Lilith and Olivia. They look like they just kind of fit.
And she was so good in Tron. So I can see it happening.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, no. And we have Roland as Mike Coulter. Big guy.
Yeah.
Fits perfectly.
He's the guy that played Luke Cage. If you're not familiar with the name, very, very strong choice he would have been.
Yep. Let's see. Brick is not in the casting, but Dave Bautista is still perfect.
Perfect.
And then we have Mad Moxie, who?
Is Carla Gugino, I think is their name.
Yep.
I liked her back then also. She has a great look, which leads back kind of to your article. A good choice.
And let's see, we have Tiny Tina was going to be Ashley Birch. And I didn't agree with this last when we did this the first time, and I still don't.
Yeah, Ashley Birch did the voicing, I think, of the teen Tiny Tina. It was very polarizing.
But yeah, as her on screen, I don't think would be good. But if it was a live action thing, perfect.
All right.
And then we have Mr. Torg, who isn't in the casting, but I think he was perfect.
What a missed opportunity for a cameo. Terry Crews.
And then we have, for Sir Hammerlock, it was Liam Cunningham.
From Game of Thrones, which is a bit of a stretch from looks, but a phenomenal actor that I think would have really pulled that off very well. And I think he looks like an older hunter to me. It makes more sense.
Yeah, that's the way it should have been.
So when you go back and look at this Forbes article, you'll see, of course, that they didn't know really where this was going to go or what Borderlands it was to come from. So they Dreamcast.
Yeah.
A lot of characters from a lot of the different Borderlands, and really good. Of course, a lot of these folks you wouldn't be able to get today.
Well, no. And of course, this was back in 2015 when Borderlands 2 was more popular. So a lot of the characters in this Forbes article reflect the current game at the time.
So Dennis, based on that Dreamcasting, I still think I would rather see that 2015 version of the Borderlands movie, however big a dream it was.
Yeah, definitely.
But based on that new trailer, what do you think? Are you as excited about the new Borderlands movie as Fallout?
No, not right away. I am a huge movie person, so I'll probably see it at one point, but I'm not going to be first in line. That's definitely.
I think I'm in the same boat with you. The trailer's kind of a tentative thumbs down for me. Mm-hmm. I'll wait for reviews to see if I'm wrong, but more than likely for me, it's a wait for streaming.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2024. Thanks for listening.